Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Reading from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 19. Dear to beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Let's give thanks for these words of instruction. If we followed them, we would have peace with God and peace with each other. But we have not done so, and there has to be a new and living way, the way through Christ, as the song stated, "I will sing of my Redeemer." He had to redeem us from the evil way that we chose, and the new and living way is in Him and Him alone. Let's pray, giving thanks and begging for what we need in reviving in the church and awakening in the world, all through Christ. Our Father, we give thanks for what we have been given. We give thanks especially for thy giving Christ. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt not only give him as he went to the cross and rose again, but thou would also give him by thy Spirit and by his Spirit, that we may through the word read of him, hear him, and receive him, that we may know, as thou hast said, to as many as received him, to them thou dost give power to become thy children, even to them that believe on his name. And help us to know there is none other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, and that he has been given a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord. And we give thanks that he is Lord over all the world, and we pray that thou, Lord Jesus, will specially be Lord over each one of us, guiding us, not leaving us to ourselves, not leaving us to avenge ourselves as we are warned here, and to love our enemies and to do good to them that seek our evil. We pray, Father, for that to be done more and more in the church, in the home, in the nation, and in the world. We see so much unrest and so much trouble and so many suffering, and we pray, Father, that thou would restrain the wicked and thou would give blessing to the righteous and help especially those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Also those in the war-torn lands, others that are murdering and killing and kidnapping and destroying homes, all those sufferings, we pray for them and pray, Father, that the gospel might reach to those who are the persecutors. We pray for that blessing on those in sickness. We pray that thou would give healing to many in their sicknesses. We pray that thou would give also preparation for death, for all must die, and especially those that will soon meet thee in death, that they might be prepared for that solemn hour through Christ. We pray for our other needs, the hungry, the homeless, the schools, that they might teach right and not errors, especially in our country, that are being taught the lie of evolution, denying thee as creator, all the other lies of difference in race. Help us to love one another and know there's no difference but in the heart. And we pray, Father, that we might see all these calamities, and especially the troubled homes, that the church might recognize how troubled they are and what it will do to our nation if it continues, especially to the next generation. We pray for the children in the broken homes, that thou would lead them to thy word, that they might have a true light on their path. We pray for other needs that there are, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks, and pray once again for awakening and reviving. Amen. As we look at this again, Paul is using the words, "dearly beloved." He had used them in the beginning as well, addressing them as a church of believers, as we can read in Romans chapter 1, To all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is writing particularly here to believers, as we saw at the beginning of the chapter, believers that have to give thanks to God in life, which is our reasonable service, because of what God gave to us in mercy, in grace, all through Christ. And now, having been redeemed, having been bought back, we are to once again hear His word, live His law much more. Without Christ, we cannot live it at all. And when in Christ, we can be created unto good works and have a beginning. As the parable states, the good ground brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I'm afraid today, when it comes to these words here, especially denying wrath and having love, that we are too much in the 30-fold. We're in the 30-fold, that means there's 70 that should be done and is not being done. So let's think about that for ourselves, especially in our homes. And then the homes guide the nation, and one nation is an influence on others. So we read, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We saw last week from the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, the things that He taught. I'll not read all of them again. I will read some of them. The Lord Jesus said at the beginning of His ministry, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That is the very best thing to do, to pray for them. I don't know how many people prayed for Paul when he persecuted, but if there were people praying, certainly there was a wonderful answer. The Lord Jesus stopping Paul and making him a witness of the gospel, of which he could say he was faithful to that calling and to that witness. Also, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, "that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." So we are to reckon that way. God blesses us when we are enemies to God, much more so than anybody is an enemy to us. God blesses us through Christ, and that we should then bless others and pray for them, as we read here. Also, Paul teaches in his letters to other churches much the same thing, in slightly different words. In this 20th verse, "Therefore that enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." His letter to the church at Ephesus tells us much of the same thing, not revenging ourselves, give place to wrath. To the Ephesians he writes, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." To the Romans he said, don't give place to wrath. Here he instructs in a slightly different way, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means before the day is done, we have to be rid of our wrath. We have to make a remedy for it. Verse 27, Ephesians chapter 4, neither give place to the devil. Father, in that same chapter we read, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If God could forgive us who sinned against Him, a holy God, we should be able to forgive others that are no worse than ourselves. As Paul says, are we better than they? And his answer was, no wise. We have together become unprofitable. Also, we have the warning in Scripture that if we don't forgive others, that we will not be forgiven either. That's part of the Lord's Prayer and other teachings as well. Times when we can pray in faith, he says, if you have aught against any, forgive them. And so that is the instruction, and we are not in a good way before God. If we have wrath during the day and it's not taken care of in the right way, Again, those words, let not the sun go down on your wrath. The answer is, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If you are forgiven, you must forgive. Paul, writing to the Colossians, stated much the same thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He said that's what you do when you're a new creature, if you're risen with Christ. And then the positive also, put off the wrong and put on the right. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and states there that love thinketh no evil. We are to put on charity or love. I think we need to apply this in everyone's individual life, but we need to apply it very much in the home. There is much avenging of ourselves, many breaking up of the homes, going to court, making the other person even worse than they are. I've heard it too often. I've sat in court, and they try to make the other person to be very bad. They are oftentimes making it worse than it is and lying, and they are not overcoming evil with good. They're overcoming good with evil, adding to the problem. And this is really a problem, a great problem in our nation. Our homes will take the nation down. Many people talk about the government, what they do, and don't like the government, don't like what they do. Half agree with one form of government, another half agree with another. The difference between called conservative and progressive, liberal and otherwise. This is not going to take the nation down like our homes will, no matter what happened. We also have to realize, no matter how good a president or Congress we have, it has not affected our homes. They are from God, and God has instituted it, and we need to hear him, and we need to take this into consideration very seriously in the church. The church is part of the problem. The church has gone along with easy divorce and wrong remarriage. And the church is part of the world instead of hearing the word of God, which says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The church is agreeing with it. It is not a salt, not a light in regard to the home. We have here something that we need to heed in the church and see how serious it is that our homes, over half of our homes are broken, and another great part of them live without marriage. Many children are born without a father. That leads to the terrible thing of abortion, as well as many other problems. And so we have much problems in the home, mostly between husbands and wives, and also between parents and children. We need to overcome that evil with good. We need to overcome it with God's word that tells us, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands, and all the instruction that he has, comparing it even with the church, much the same as the church and the home. We read, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is God's way, and this is the good way, and the good way that can overcome the evil that is so prevalent today in our homes, and many, especially lawyers, encouraging it, making it worse, adding to the problem, and the church not being a salt, and sometimes even also adding to the problem. I have heard two pastors encouraging their prisoner to get a divorce, not with any adultery, no right reason at all, certainly no scripture reason, when God says, what he has joined together, let not man put asunder. And these were some that would probably think they were conservative churches, believe the truth, but they did not, and they did not practice the truth. They were a help to bring evil instead of overcome evil with good. Sometimes I've heard pastors saying it and then denying it and lying about it. And so we have a problem in the home, and we have a problem very serious as well in the church, that it's not doing what it should do in regard to the home and bring the home into submission and subjection to God. As we go on here in Paul's letter, we see the relationship that we have to government. First of all, one another as individuals and as families. Then we read, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We have strong words if we don't listen and we don't submit to those who God has appointed over us. We need to think about that more. We hear of those that want people to vote. We want to get out the vote and vote and vote and vote and vote. Think that that's the answer. The real answer is prayer. In 2016, I remember reading about some that urged prayer, and then those that urged it did win in the election, their candidates. Recently, I haven't heard one thing about prayer. I only hear about voting, getting out and vote, and getting other people to vote, as if, number one, that will do it when God has the trump card. And we read here, there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. If we live and our country continues, our next election for president will be the one that's ordained by God. If our nation continues in its wickedness, he may give us a wicked president for punishment, and we'll have certainly much problem. We can read about that in Scripture. Proverbs 28, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's what is happening. I remember many spoke against our last president. They wanted to oust him from his office, even when God had ordained that he would be there. We can be thankful for what he did. That has made a ruling now of Roe versus Wade being reversed. No longer our country allowing abortion. I know there's much strife over it, and I don't know what the outcome will be with all the rebellion we have against that law, that abortion is not allowed. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way it used to be for many years in our country. The last 50 years, as we have grown wickeder, as homes have broken, other things have waxed worse and worse, we changed the law that allowed the murder of the unborn. Just think, murder of the unborn, allowing it in a country like ours, called sometimes the home of the brave and the home of the free. But the ones in their mother's womb weren't free to live, weren't free to be brought forth. They were murdered. We will pay for it, because God said, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. And we've got that coming, and it will happen. And the reason is that they were created in God's image, every one of them. We need to see the problem in the home, in the church, and with government as well. Government will be what the home and the church is, and the rest of the nation. We need to realize that God can give one or the other, as he says here, those that God has given, we have to be subject to. I was more in agreement with our past president, especially in regard to believing he would appoint Supreme Court judges that would make right rulings, and that happened. And I'm thankful for that. And if he hadn't been president, it wouldn't have happened, and there would not have been a reversal of Roe versus Wade. That was one reason I voted, and if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have voted at all, because there was not very much of a good choice. We may believe what a man will say he will do, and if he does that, then we can be subject to it, and that's what everyone should be subject to now. We had to be subject to the wrong way of allowing the murder of the unborn, and we couldn't punish anybody. Nobody could. The law was there, and we had to be subject to it. But those that resist it, we read, will receive to themselves damnation. And that has a very high place in God's way, and we have to realize it. We also see not only the order by God through Paul to be subject to it, and the warning against resisting that power, that we're resisting what God did and who God put in power. God will also give damnation. He doesn't say how, he doesn't say through who, but he will do it. They shall receive damnation. How many have wrongly gone against our past president and died unrepentant and received damnation? Only God knows. Then we read what rulers should be. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute judgment upon him that doeth evil. This is what God has ordained, and this is what there will be. Sometimes there's kings, sometimes there's presidents, sometimes there's other names given to the leaders of a country. Some of them are dictators and don't rule well, but God allows it. As I said, sometimes probably for the punishment of the country. If they are evil and have not sought the Lord, have not been true to the Lord, then God will use the leader probably to do wrong things and bad things for the nation, and sometimes allowing other nations to have jurisdiction over one. He has done that in Israel in the history. We don't know all the answers of what takes place and why in our present time. We don't have prophets like then that gave warning and also gave description. But we do have God's scripture here, and we are told that rulers are not a terror to good works. I think we can be very thankful for the Supreme Court decision that they are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And those that say, as the women do, this is my body, it is not her body, it is another body. It is a body that God has put there in his image, and we have to respect it. We can be thankful, and now we have to pray that God will honor what was done and lead us toward a better way and not further and further into the evil way, which we have been going. Let's pray for that.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.